Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, be going to Acts chapter number 20 this morning. Acts chapter number 20, if you will join me there. In our time of meditation today, we read in Psalm 28, verse number 7, one of the verses, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Aren't you grateful for that today? And can I say this today? What I want to talk to you about today, the only way to accomplish this is by understanding, and not simply academically, but to understand it experientially, that He is my strength and my shield. Today I want you to notice with me from the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. If you'll notice, we're going to begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible tells us, "And that when they were come to Him, He said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, we come before You this morning, and Lord, I do thank You for the time that Lord, has been set aside this morning here in this place that we can open Your Word. And Lord, we're grateful today that we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, Lord. So Lord, I pray today that You would help us. And Lord, what we see would produce good works in our lives. And Lord, that it would that it would take root, and Lord, it would be manifest, and it would work, and it would be effectual today. Lord, we pray that the Word of God, Lord, might begin to work by the Spirit of God working in our lives. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to be better Christians, better servants, Lord, because of what we see and because of what we hear and because of what we allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives today. Lord, I thank You for the leadership that's here today that has prepared the way for each and every one of us to be able to enjoy this time in this place. But ultimately, Lord, we stop to thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, because without You, without Him, Lord, we know we're nothing. We thank You for salvation, Lord. Thank You that we can know You as our Savior. And Lord, I pray because of the fact of that knowledge, Lord, the reality of knowing Christ as our Savior, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to give You the glory and the honor for everything that's done here today. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Now I pray that You will do what I cannot do. Lord, we glorify Your name. We thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we ask these things today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a young boy, somewhere, I guess, around 5 years of age or something like that. And by the way, we might have some people like that here today. I was wondering what Bridge Day was when I was hearing talk about Bridge Day. Dr. Anderson, I would have been one of those base jumpers, you know, and I think that's cool to hear about that and hear about people doing things of that nature. Maybe not so much anymore. Since I turned 40, I find I have less and less to prove anymore. But when I was a little kid, my parents used to take us to the community swimming pool. And maybe some of you, your parents did that. And if you went and you went, and it wasn't so much as swimming as bobbing, if you know what I mean. There were so many people there, you couldn't really swim. You just find a place to jump up and down and get wet, if you know what I mean. Well, at the pool, there were some diving boards. And there were lines to go off the low dive and the high dive. And here I'm, this little kid. And in the meantime, I really couldn't tell you what my parents were doing. I couldn't tell you. Because the next thing that I recall was standing on the edge of the high dive. I was probably 5 years old, and I had these things on my arms. You know what I'm talking about? Floaties, is that what you call them? In my family, we call them swimmies. Whatever you call them. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look like you don't. Some of you still wear them. I know. I walked to the edge of this diving board, and I looked down. And as I looked down, someone's gaze caught me, and they said this, "Look at that baby up on that diving board." You know what I did? I jumped. And I did one of these things with my arms outstretched. Whee! Well, can I say this? When my body met the water, it went from wee to wah. And I could not see through the tears. Can I say this? When I think of this story, and by the way, I'm not trying to be silly today. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of the Apostle Paul being aggressive in ministry in this nature. You see, folks, this morning, when I think of great servants to the church, my mind can't help but think of the Apostle Paul. Amen? I can't help but think of his ministry to the churches. By the way, I don't think Paul was one to work into ministry gradually, to stick his toe in and kind of gauge and see if the water's too cold, and if it is, he was going to back off and not be involved in ministry. I think the Apostle Paul was one, he was one to jump in full throttle. It's exciting to see his ministry. I don't believe he was a diplomat in his ministry. We know that he was an ambassador. By the way, from the first day, I believe we see he gave himself unsparingly to the work of the Lord. And especially here in this passage, as we see the work of the Lord in Ephesus. Paul was an ambassador. He was not a diplomat. By the way, we are called upon in the Scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. What are the Scriptures? What does it tell us? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Can I say this today as a pastor of a local church? You know what I'm looking for? You know what's a blessing to me? You know what's an encouragement to me? When I see young people and when I see adults who are not interested in being diplomats, but who are interested in being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord gives them, puts some fire in their bones, and they're not afraid and they're not ashamed. They're not going to be quiet. They've determined with all they are, they're going to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exciting to me. You know what? I meet many people and they say this, "If I simply knew how to, I would serve the Lord in such manner." This morning, I want to give you three quick things, and my time is quickly running out this morning, but I want to give you three quick things. If I could just show you, and maybe you're there this morning, if you'd say, "If I just knew how, if I could just see, I would take the plunge. I would jump in." And by the way, I want to talk to you this morning about jumping into ministry with both feet. You say, "I'm there. If I could just see how, if I could simply get a vision." Well, this morning I'm going to try to give you just that. I want you to notice three simple phrases this morning with me from our text. The first thing I want you to see this morning is the motive of Paul's ministry. Why did he do what he did? What was his motive? Notice verse 19 with me, if you will. I'll back up to verse 18. It says this. It says, "I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons," or over a period of time. Notice verse 19. "Serving the Lord." Folks, do you see today, young people, do you see the motive of Paul's ministry is found in the phrase, "serving the Lord"? He did all he did for the purpose of serving the Lord. You know what? I get excited in the church when people decide to do things for the sole purpose of serving the Lord. You know what? You have some people who do what they do so the pastor will see them and brag on them. You have some people who maybe do what they do in a setting like this who the administration will see them and who will recognize what they're doing and think they're a fine, upstanding student and a fine young person. You know what is exciting to me when we see young people and we see people in our churches who are doing what they're doing for no other reason but to serve the Lord? Isn't that exciting? You know what, folks? We have an awesome privilege to serve not a congressman, not to serve your pastor, not to serve your parents, but to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible shows us Paul was not interested in making money. Look in our text in Acts chapter 20. Notice verse 33 with me, if you will. It says this, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Some people decide, I'm going to get into ministry. I'm going to do something for God because I want to get rich quick. Can I just stop and say this? Serving the Lord might give you money. The Lord might make you, you know, and that might happen to you. And will you do me a favor? If you get rich, will you remember my name? But isn't it exciting to see people, you know what, we're not in it. We're not serving the Lord to get rich quick. Not only that, we see this, some people, they're interested in serving the Lord because they want to enjoy an easy life. Verses 34 and 35, again in our text in Acts chapter 20, notice with me. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. And to them that were with me. Necessities, our needs. Do you see this morning, young people, that the Apostle Paul, even in his service for the Lord, still had needs? He still had struggles, still had circumstances that he went through. The motive for Paul's ministry is found in the simple phrase of serving the Lord. Now, to understand this, you have to remember who he was writing to. Who he was speaking to. Such a concept of service in Romans chapter number 1. And if you see the example of the Apostle Paul, it says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a doulos, a bondservant. Such a thought process to the Romans would have been unheard of, who prided themselves in freedom and who would have never wanted to identify themselves as a bondservant. It didn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense in their society or in their culture. But may I remind you that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And it is an honor and it is a privilege to serve our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, it says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So will you jump into ministry with both feet? Will you do it? You say, how? Well, what was Paul's motive? It was simply in the service of the Lord. But I have to hurry. Here's the second thing I want to share with you this morning. Not only was his motive, it was clear, and his motive, it was evident in his service for the Lord. But the second thing I want to share with you this morning, not only his motive, but Paul's manner of ministry, it was available for all to see. What do I mean by that? Back in our text in Acts chapter number 20, notice with me. He said this, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He was humble and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. His motive was the service of the Lord. His manner was available for all to see. He lived a consistent life which anyone could inspect. By the way, if anyone was going to be a religious celebrity, don't you think the Apostle Paul had a right? after being the writer, you think of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 13 books of the New Testament. If he wrote Hebrews 14, if anyone had the right to be a religious celebrity, would it have not have been the Apostle Paul? And serve me. But he served in humility. He served in humility, and also the Bible tells us with tears. He wasn't afraid to let people see the trials, tears, and temptations that he went through. Some people say real men don't cry. Real men don't shed tears. I believe the Apostle Paul was a man's man. Had a tremendous ministry. We see his ministry. We see the motive of his ministry. It was to serve the Lord. The manner of his ministry, it was in humility. It was in tears and temptations. But here's the last thing I want to share with you this morning. The message of his ministry. And we see again in verses 21 or 20 and 21, it says this, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you, look, publicly from house to house." Now this is an amazing ministry, and you have to go back and think where he was. He was in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, there was one of the seven wonders of the world, and it was the temple to who? It was built and it was dedicated to Diana. It was over 400 feet long. It was over 200 feet wide. There were over 100 pillars that were over 60 feet tall. There were hundreds of priestesses who basically sold their bodies in worship of this goddess Diana. It was a very wicked, wicked place. I guess you could call it a mega church. All mega churches, just because it's mega doesn't mean it's right, does it? And you notice in this environment, what did he say? "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." He wasn't afraid in his message of the Lord. Notice with me what it was in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace to you." Now, what was the result of that? His ministry in Ephesus, chapter 19, verse 10, notice it says this, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." What an awesome statement. It doesn't say they all trusted the Lord, did it? But it did say they all heard. We see he was faithful in his ministry. He was faithful to the message of the gospel of grace. He told sinners to repent of their sin and to believe in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's the only message that can save a sinner. We know Paul reminded them that in his ministry he didn't hold back anything that was profitable to them. Verse number 27, it says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of the Word of God, including its doctrines and its duties, its principles and its precepts." He had a balanced ministry. He had a balanced outlook, witnessing to both the Jews and the Greeks. Let me ask you this. I heard some great testimonies here this morning, but can I ask you this morning? Some of you are already there. You're ready to jump into ministry with both feet. By the way, there's nothing any more exciting than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more thrilling to see what God might do through your life. And in this room, there's so much potential. It's awesome to see. But some of you have never gotten to that point. And maybe if you would say, if someone could just show me, and if someone could just help me, then I would be willing to do it. But what better example than the Apostle Paul working to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see his motive to serve the Lord. We see his manner in humility and in tears and in temptations and trials. And then we see his message. It's very simple. The gospel of grace. You know what? I, as a pastor, you know what I want to do? I want to see young people, and sometimes they're a little hesitant, and maybe they're a little unsure. You know what I want to do? in their service for the Lord, I want to walk up behind them, and you know what I want to do? I want to give them a push. And you know what? As that little boy who was standing on the edge of that diving board, it's not a pool of water anymore down below me. And it's not horrified parents who are looking up thinking, what is that crazy boy? By the way, I've seen that many, many other times from my parents, by the way. Not wondering what I'm up to, but it's a lost in a dying world and many souls hang in the balance. So here's my question for you this morning. If you don't remember anything else I've said today, will you jump in to ministry with both feet? And if you'd say no, here's my question. What would hinder you? Some of you, we have some people in here, I believe with all my heart, could impact this world for the cause of Christ. Will you jump in? It's the greatest thing you can ever do.